Good afternoon, you're listening to Campus K News for Tuesday, January 6th. I'm Taylor Heckert. Amid record-breaking snowfalls and unusually low temperatures, some residents in a mobile home park in Juneau have been without enough water to take a shower for more than 2 weeks. And as K2O's Yvonne Crumry reports, it's not clear when the issue will be fixed.
Some Thunder Mountain Mobile Park residents haven't been able to use their showers or do laundry during the holidays in recent snowstorms. Right Services, the company that owns the park, says it won't be able to repair the main water line until temperatures warm. And warm weather isn't in the forecast anytime soon. Tammy Jablonski says it's making it hard to live her life.
I had, like, just a trickle come out, not enough to flush the toilet, not enough, obviously, to take a shower or wash dishes or do anything else. Laundry, nothing.
Jablonski has lived at the mobile park for more than 10 years. In 2020, the park lost water pressure during a cold spell, but it was resolved after a few days. This time, she says her water has been nothing but a trickle since December 20th. Right Services General Manager David Crocker says some of the pipes that connect the main city water line to individual mobile homes are frozen.
Once it happens up at the top where the connection is that the residents are responsible for, it can freeze them down into the main line and cause issues with people, other people in the park other than just that one unit. So we've been working diligently to try to identify where those issues are and take care of them.
But Crocker says they can't reach the main line with construction equipment because the ground is frozen. Instead, they're trying to trace the blockage by investigating each report. According to survey results Crocker shared, out of 89 residents, 60 initially had issues with low water pressure, and as of Monday, people in 11 residences reported the pressure had improved. When the pressure issue started, the company provided each resident with cases of water, two-day passes to Juneau's pools for showers, and portable toilets in the park. But Jablonski says that the cases of water are long gone, the local pools have been closed sporadically, and the porta-potties immediately froze and are unusable. She says she called Right Services before the new year to ask if there'd be a rent reduction. Instead, she was charged the full amount, plus a rent increase that the company informed residents of before the water issue started.
I never got a phone call back, and I have an auto payment for the park on my bank account, and it came out big as you please, and it went up.
She says she hasn't been hearing much from the company as this problem persists. When asked about rent reduction, Crocker told KTOO the company is focused on repairing the issue and declined to answer the question. The Alaska Landlords and Tenants Act says tenants can seek damages via lawsuits if services that should be provided in their leases aren't. Jablonski says she and other residents just want running water again.
We are asking for help. We're not trying to be demanding. We're not being ugly. We're asking for basic services.
In the meantime, the lack of water has taken a toll, she says, especially on top of the historic amounts of snow.
And I love a good snowstorm, but this one has handed my tail to me. The amount of money I've had to spend to get dug out, to help dig out myself, to get my roof cleaned off, to not be able to come in and take a hot shower and cook a good hot meal using water. It's like, are you kidding me?
And with another snowstorm descending, she worries that a fix won't come anytime soon. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry.
The Sitka Assembly is looking to address an ongoing problem in Sitka, bears breaking into trash cans. But how the body will go about it is still up in the air. KCW's Hope McKinney reports.
When the Sitka Assembly met on December 30th, bear trash management strategies were on the group's agenda. But one of the item's sponsors, Assemblymember Scott Saline, was hoping for participation from key stakeholders, like residents of neighborhoods with high bear traffic, Alaska State Troopers, and Sitka's solid waste contractor, Alaska Waste.
I've asked people to show up here and just try to reemphasize what it's like to live up Indian River with brown bears squishing on your front doors and kids waiting for the bus year after year with bears in the shadows. So I'm just hoping that people didn't show up because they're shy to come before the assembly.
Sitka has seen an uptick in bear calls over the past several years, starting in 2021 when a record 14 bears were put down either by law enforcement or homeowners. In response, the city reestablished a bear task force, which recommended bear-resistant trash cans as one possible solution to the problem. The preferred cans came with a hefty price tag, and the city did not move forward with the recommendation at the time. Then this summer, the city started a pilot program in the Indian River neighborhood to see if a centrally located trash bin would reduce bear traffic. But Municipal Administrator John Leach said they still need to check the data to see whether or not the effort was successful. Martha Moses sits on the Sitka Tribe of Alaska Tribal Council and was part of the bear task force.
I think we talk about a lot about the garbage situation, but we have a bear problem. We know bears develop habits, and we know that the bear that's going over to the Coast Guard housing into the Edgecombe School area has got a habit because he's been going there for 2-3 years now. And so, you know, there's more than just Indian River. There's other areas that we've shared at the Bear Task Force. And so when they become a problem, they should be taken care of. That's what we really wanted to have. Not just Indian River, but our community.
Leah Mason is with Baranoff Island Housing Authority. She agreed that the Indian River neighborhood isn't the only place with increased bear activity, and that rather than using new cans, the city should look into dealing with organic waste differently.
I've been house-sitting in Bjorka Street when somebody shot a bear across the road from Market Center. We've had bears getting into the large cans at Monastery. The bears are currently opening people's cars. We've had a garage door pulled off by a bear trying to get to something in someone's garage. So there's a lot of discussion about what would work, and we have a lot of experience of what doesn't.
Assemblymember Katie Riley recommended talking to Alaska Waste about cost and with the Sustainability Commission, which she said has been looking at solid waste management solutions, especially reduction efforts.
So seeing if we can dovetail some of those efforts to both like reduce the amount of solid waste that's being generated and figure out if there's any kind of like value-added thing that we can do, especially with organic waste, to divert that, you know, as a, like a particularly bear attractant waste, and then come up with some of those neighborhood-wide solutions. Like that could be all part of a comprehensive strategy.
Municipal Administrator Leach said addressing the issue is complex and might require restructuring solid waste rates, renegotiating with the garbage collection contractor, and adjusting city code.
Ultimately, whatever the solution is, and if it's going to cost more, it's going to get passed on to the ratepayer in some expense, meaning if you don't want the bin at your house and want to use the big one, like, how's that going to work? Are you going to pay for both of them if it's in your neighborhood? I don't know.
As for the future, Assemblymember Celine said he hopes to encourage more stakeholder participation at upcoming meetings.
Can't subpoena people, but I'm going to get the paper trail going so that the next meeting we could have people here and make this come together.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Hope McKenney.
Attention all birders. Great egrets landed in Unalaska for the first time in recorded history in early December. Biologists suspect Typhoon Halong brought them in. KUCB's Sophia Stewart-Rossi reports.
Birders across the Aleutians noted something unusual this winter. Elegant white wading birds showing up in places they've never seen before. Local naturalist Susie Golodoff says last month 9 egrets turned up in Adak, 5 in Nikolsky, and for the first time documented, 3 in Unalaska.
It's funny when you spend time outside and you're always looking at things and watching the weather and the birds and whatnot. Sometimes I see certain spots and I think, oh, maybe someday something will show up there. But I never would have guessed that we'd have 3 great egrets in the lake over there on Mackinac.
Golodoff says this isn't the first time great egrets have shown up in the central and western Aleutians, but it is the first time so many have appeared at once. In the past, it's just been a single bird or two, sometimes alive, but mostly dead. So how did so many great egrets get to the Aleutians? Well, Golodoff says the bird biologists that she's talked to suspect October's Typhoon Halong pushed them across the Pacific Ocean. It's not confirmed, but it's the leading theory.
They were all, as far as they know so far, all from Asia, all that subspecies of Asian great egret, which is fabulous to see something like this, but also a little tragic because they're going to have a tough time.
Golodoff says these wading birds hunt by standing motionless in shallow water, waiting to spear fish, frogs, snakes, snails, crabs, and other prey with their dagger-like bills. And she says Alaska's ponds, which are soon to freeze over, won't offer them much. But finding food isn't the only struggle. They'll have to watch out for eagles, a bird that Unalaska has plenty of. When Unalaska birders got word that great egrets had landed at a Mackinac Lake on December 9th, Golodoff rushed over. By the time she arrived, the eagles were already harassing the visiting birds.
And just in that quick span of time, the eagles like got them up off the ground, flushed them up, and had them spiraling around, and all three egrets kind of got separated.
Golodov says she hasn't seen the great egrets since, and it's hard to say where the birds went.
What you'd guess is that they just got out of town because all the eagles are so concentrated here. So they might have just gone over to Broad Bay or someplace else with some habitat that might provide them food.
Golodov says the great egrets found in Nikolsky were picked off by eagles. She says these birds are going to need some serious luck to survive in Alaska. For KUCB News, I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi.
Last month, great egrets were also spotted in the Pribilofs, Kodiak, and in southeast Alaska, like Cordova, Yakutat, and Petersburg. KFSK has an open airwaves policy. We encourage the public to express personal opinions, ideas, and creative works. These pieces are available on our website, kfsk.org, following the scheduled radio broadcast. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of KFSK. The following commentary was submitted for broadcast by Carlene Gale.
This is Carlene Gale. I'm one of the travelers of PMC, and I just want to say thank you to everyone in Petersburg. I would not be doing myself any justice or Petersburg if I did not take this time to say thank you. Thank you to all the people who have assisted me in enhancing my Petersburg experience. To the entire staff of PMC, to the staff of the community center, the water aerobics group, the grocery store staff, the massage therapist, the yoga instructor, the neighbors who made a pathway for me to walk after the snow, the ones who invited me to their home for dinner, the ones who said, oh, here's some sweet food. This list is so much longer than what I have time to do right now. So in order to not leave anyone out, I will say thank you to everyone. I came to Petersburg in July of 2024 at a time when my life seems to give me a lot of detours, at a time when I was in the process of working on my inner self, at a time when I was learning to listen to myself. Petersburg allowed me to hear myself. Petersburg allowed me to grow beyond my expectation. Petersburg allowed me to enhance the love I have for myself and others. The time I spent at Outlook and Sand Beach allowing me to see the abundance that life has to offer us, such abundance as of water, mountain, trees. I could go on. In December of last year, I had to go home earlier than I had planned to because my husband was ill. He passed away less than 3 months later. After which, I started feeling as if I was losing myself too. And so I stopped everything and came back to my happy place, Petersburg. I made the decision to allow myself to be rebuilt. I find it a space where less is more. I know what true peace is in life, and Petersburg allowed me to know the peace that surpasses all understanding. I am saying goodbye for now, but it will not be forever. Petersburg has given me so much cherishable moment that I will never lose. In ending, I say to everyone, live consciously, be aware of the things you tell yourself, meet each person where they are, and remember, we cannot correct 2025. We can only strive to make 2026 better. Have an awesome 2026. Truly, Carlene.
That commentary was submitted for broadcast by Carlene Gale. KFSK encourages the public expression of personal opinions, ideas, and creative works. Views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of KFSK. You may review the open airwaves policy on our website, kfsk.org. For more information, please call our station at our temporary number, 907-531-8049. For KFSK, I'm Taylor Heckert.